right. Thank you guys for the good song, Heart Abandoned. Tonight, as we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 for tonight, what I want to look at is a clear charge to preach God's word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, I want to look at for this evening. I believe that one of the greatest social issues that is in our world today, not only in the present time, it's been in past years, but I do believe that it is increasing exponentially throughout the world. And I think that one of the greatest issues in the social order of our day is isolation and loneliness. I can only imagine when you come to this particular passage of Scripture, it's a Scripture that's familiar to all of us. It's not a Scripture that you are unfamiliar with. But whenever you think about the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, he is alone. He has gone through his many years, his many days of passionately preaching and teaching the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul certainly did not have it easy during his days. He struggled with many things. He certainly knew what persecution was like. I mean, in AD 64, when Nero gave orders for the city of Rome to be burned, Christians became luminaries out there in the garden of Nero. Christians have been persecuted down through the annals of time. And whenever you and I look at this passage for tonight, Paul was writing. He was writing to Timothy. Timothy had been his young friend. Timothy had been a young man who was somewhat weak. He was somewhat timid. And yet the Apostle Paul took him under his arm. He mentored him. He challenged him. He encouraged him. And now when you come to this fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, Paul realizes that the hoofbeats of death, the drumbeats they're beating, Paul realizes that it's not long before he will face physical death. He is in the Mamertine prison in Rome. It's a very dark place. There's little light that's there. It's a very damp place. Those that had been with Paul in his ministry, many of them had now forsaken him. They had gone their various ways. And even in this time of isolation, in this time of loneliness, he writes to his young friend, and he wants to give him a proclamation, a mandate given. It's a mandate that is somewhat of a military command. It's an order that he wants Timothy to exercise in the days to come. It is a mandate that is not an option, but it is something that is so vitally important to the Apostle Paul's life. In verse 1 of chapter 4 in 2 Timothy, Paul writes, "I charge you therefore." I charge you. Paul is trying his best in these moments of isolationism to once again reflect upon the goodness and the graciousness of Almighty God and how important it is to go out and to continue. Paul is basically passing on the baton, the mantle, onto Timothy to pick up in the days to come where he's left off. And he wants to encourage him. He wants to challenge him. He wants to direct him. And so he gives this mandate. And he says, "I charge you," this military term there. He says, "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, in the presence of Jehovah, in the presence of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is issuing this great command, this great charge. He says, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and notice who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now, in that first verse, Paul is saying there will come a reckoning day, one of these days. And he speaks about the appearing there as in the rapture of the church when Christians will be caught up there. And then he speaks about and his kingdom, the end when Christ comes in his second coming, will stop the days of the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, and will usher in his earthly kingdom upon this earth. And so Paul begins there. He comes now in verse 2, and he says, preach the word. Preach the word. You know, oftentimes we hear people speak about that, you know, if I haven't had my toes tromped on, stomped on, stepped on, then I really don't feel like I've been to church. And yet, there are lots of others that say, you know, I just want something that makes me feel good all the time. But you know, whenever you go from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, and you see the Word of God, let me tell you, there are lots of things in there that really don't make us feel good because they confront us, they challenge us, they convict us about the sin in our life and the rebellion that we have against God. Now, Paul wants to make it very clear to Timothy. Timothy, this is what I'm leaving you to do. Timothy, this is what God has called you to do. This is what God has ordained of your life. Preach the word. Preach the word. He says, like a herald that's out there giving a proclamation for the king. He's saying, in other words, stick to the book. Stick to the Bible. Stick to the precepts and the principles and the commandments that God has laid out so that it will touch the heart of mankind, that it will turn man's heart to a place of conviction and to a place of confession. And so he says, preach the word. He's speaking about the entire counsel of the Word of God. Let me tell you, I believe that whenever you stand up to teach, to preach, I think you ought to say, thus saith the Lord. And as the book of Proverbs says, where the tree falls, there it shall lay. In other words, these are God's words written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as men penned what the Holy Spirit uttered. You see, I don't think there's any room for any apology about anything that this book says that we ought to preach. I think we need to preach the full counsel of the Word of God. And wherever it falls, as Proverbs says, there it shall lay. But preach the word. And then Paul says, be ready in season and out of season. In other words, always be ready. Always be ready at every opportunity that you have to preach the word, to teach the word, to press the word upon someone's heart. Someone texted me this past week and said, would you please send me some scriptures to lead someone to Christ? And I went to the little track that we made, we put together about what we need to do in order to be saved. And I just, with my cell phone, thank God for technology, I just went through that little track and I took a picture of each of those pages and I sent it on to the person who was requesting, send me some scriptures that I may lead a person that I'm talking to, that I might lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, when Paul was writing to Timothy about preaching the word, he wanted Timothy to be ready, to stick to the book, and to be ready in whatever season. You know, Solomon said to everything, there's a season, there's a time to every purpose under the heavens. And so be ready in season and out of season. I mean, be ready at any unexpected moment to be able to give a defense of your faith, to be able to give a witness for Jesus, to be able to share Christ with someone. And then notice he says, not only to use every opportunity, but he uses the term there, convince. Now he's speaking about as you're preaching, as you're preaching, convince. You see, one of the other translations uses the word reprove. And so sin must be pointed out. It must be pointed out. It's not the popular thing to do. It's certainly not the political correct thing to do of the day, but it's the right thing to do. To reprove means to convince people. When you point out what Scripture has to say about sin, and in that reproving, in that convincing, then the Holy Scripture, the Bible says God's word won't return void. And so the Scripture, when we are confronted with our sin, then we have the conviction of the Holy Spirit that moves within our lives. He goes on and he uses the term rebuke there. That's a warning. It means once again, you need to know the outcome of sin. So correct someone. He's saying, as you're preaching the word of God. He uses the term exhort there, which means an appeal. He uses that for encouragement and pointing out a biblical solution. And then he says, with all long suffering. And of course, you know, you and I know long suffering. God is long suffering for sure. For the past 2,000 years, God has been long suffering. God has been patient with mankind. People may not respond immediately, but Paul is saying to Timothy, whenever you preach the word and you're ready at every opportunity, with the word convince, rebuke, in other words, show the warning that the Bible has to say, exhort, appeal, and he says, with all long suffering and teaching. Let me tell you, oftentimes the fruits of our labors are not seen in this life. Many times the fruit of our labors are long seen down the road. They certainly will be seen in eternity. And then he goes on in the next verse. He says, for the time will come when they, he's speaking of people, will not endure sound doctrine. That word doctrine means instruction. It means teaching or feeding them the gospel. Preaching is explanation, explaining of the Scripture, and then applying the Scripture with a practical application. And he's speaking here about Bible doctrine. People need to be taught. They need to be fed. They need to be instructed. And so he says to Timothy, not only was it true in Paul's day, people were already not heeding sound doctrine. There were false teachers that had arisen. There were false teachers trying to creep into the churches. Paul understood that. Paul knew that. Paul knew that Timothy, this young Christian who was somewhat timid, somewhat weak, that Paul is trying to encourage him to be on guard, to watch out, to be alerted to the fact, to be warned that there would be those that don't want sound teaching. They don't want sound instruction. They would rather make the Bible to say something that it does not say in order that whatever sin they are committing, it will make them feel better about it. And so Paul brings this great warning of admonition and encouragement to Timothy to let him know that the time will come when people will turn away from sound instruction and sound teaching from the Bible. It says, because according to their own desires, notice the phrase, according to their own desires. You see people all over the world tonight. In our world, we're seeing a great intensity. We're seeing a great increasing of people that are trying everything, any kind of new age religion, anything in the area that is according to their own desires, what they truly want in their lives. Paul goes on and says about these, because they have itching ears, which means they will heap up for themselves. Notice he says teachers. And then in verse 4, he moves on and he tells us in the next verses, teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Did you ever stop to think that a lot of people today really don't want to know the truth? I mean, if you and I really truthfully want to know the truth, and oftentimes it's hard to decipher what truly is truth in the world that we live in with all of the mixed messages that we get and with all of the different opinions that we are given, sometimes it's really hard to decipher what's truth. But Jesus said, if you want to know truth, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And Paul is saying to Timothy here in verse 4, there's coming a day when people will have this apostasy, where they will fall away. They will not want sound teaching. They will not want the truth of the word. Paul says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside. Notice he says, to fables. Fables, falsehoods, false teachings. And there are many, many people all over the world. And we see that books that are being written, all kinds of stuff on the occult is out there. Let me tell you, I know that Satan realizes his time is short in the world. Let me tell you, he's on a short leash, I believe. And I believe that he's doing everything that he can in order to have people with itching ears that will turn according to their own selfish desires to want to believe this or that, that are fables, that are falsehoods, that are not sound doctrine and sound instruction, as Paul is trying to help his young friend in the faith. He goes on in verse 5, and he gives his message here. He gives this message. He says in verse 5, but you be watchful in all things. Notice he uses the term all things. In other words, Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, I know what I'm talking about. I know where I've been. I know the things I've experienced. I know what I have seen. As Paul has stood in the marketplaces and on Mars Hill and various places and tried to proclaim the gospel when he would be run out of town, or some kind of riot would happen because of the truth of what he was teaching and what he was preaching. And he says to his young friend, but you be watchful. Be watchful, be alert, be on guard. He says, endure afflictions. Let me tell you, Paul understood afflictions if anyone did. I mean, to be beaten with 39 lashes on several different occasions for preaching the gospel. To be beaten with rods 3 different times. To spend 3 or 4 different occasions out in the deep, a night and a day, out in the murky waters. To be run out of town for trying to be concerned about the souls of men. Paul understood what afflictions were. He had endured those afflictions, and he is telling Timothy to be on guard, to be alert, to be warned about these, to endure those. Paul is saying, like a good soldier of the cross would do, continue to endure those things. I mean, when people criticize you, when people stand up and they ridicule, mock, mimic something in a despicable way in order to put you down, Paul realized that Timothy had a hard road to hoe. Paul had done that, but he had done it faithfully. He had done it passionately. He had been fully committed to the task that God had called him to do. And so in giving this message here, he proclaims a message to be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and then he says, do the work of an evangelist. What does it mean to evangelize? It means to go out and tell people about Jesus. Jesus saves. We've heard the joyful sound, the song says, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And so Paul, in verse 5, gives a message of warning. He gives a message to keep on keeping on like a good soldier of the cross and endure the afflictions that are going to come around. And then he says, do the work of an evangelist. Share Christ. Share Christ wherever you go. People to people need the Lord. God loves people more than anything. If that were not true, then God himself would not have robed himself in the incarnation in human flesh and come out of heaven's glory to dwell among us and to be born in this world and to give his life and to shed his blood for the remission of sins and then to give us a living hope by rising from the dead and be the living Christ who ascended back to heaven where he sits at the right hand of the Father and he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Let me tell you, he's praying for you tonight. And Paul wanted Timothy to take this charge very seriously, to not back out, to not back down, to not give up, to not wear out, but to continue on with the work of evangelizing the world. I'm grateful tonight for all of the technology. I'm grateful tonight because all over the world, people are hearing the message of salvation, the evangelistic message that Jesus saves. Let me tell you, tonight the Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you and me a question. Are we doing the work of an evangelist? Are we still telling people to look to Jesus, to live for Jesus, to put your faith and trust in Jesus, put your confidence in him? Let him come into your heart. Receive him by asking him to forgive you of your sins and let him be the Lord of your life. Continue to be an evangelist. I believe you and I ought to bloom where we're planted. I believe we have an opportunity every day to be evangelistic in some way. Whatever we do, wherever we go, the way we live our lives, the way we portray ourselves to other people, the words that come out of our mouth. No wonder the psalmist would say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And then he gives him another admonition here, fulfill your ministry. Notice he didn't say, Timothy, you are to fulfill John's ministry. You're to fulfill Luke's ministry. You're to fulfill Barnabas's ministry. No, he said, fulfill your ministry. Now, each one of us as Christians, disciples, followers of Christ, each one of us are ministers in our own right. And each one of us have a calling. Each one of us, God has put a purpose in our hearts and in our lives that he wants us to fulfill. And Paul did not want Timothy to fall by the wayside, but he wanted to encourage him that he would continue on with his ministry and to do what Christ had called him to do. And then when you come to verse 6, Paul looks in retrospect. He looks retrospectively about his life. He realized he's sitting in a dark, damp dungeon of a prison. It was called the Mamertine prison in Rome. It was not a place that you would ever desire to want to spend the last days of your life. And whenever you realize that most of those who had been with him, most of them had forsaken Paul at this point. I think about when Jesus was hanging on the cross on that Friday, that those disciples forsook Jesus as well. Paul has forgiven them. As you go on to read this chapter, Paul forgives those that have walked away and gone their various ways. But he realizes that as a Roman citizen, that he will not be crucified on a cross because that was not what was supposed to happen in the prosecuting of Roman citizens. But Paul realized that he was waiting an executioner who would behead him. And he would be beheaded. He would become a martyr because he had given his life to Christ. Because he had gone out. He had shared Christ to a hostile world that did not want to hear what Paul had to say. And as he's sitting there in that Mamertine prison, he's obviously thinking in those moments, and he's writing to continue to fulfill his own ministry by pouring into and speaking truth and life into Timothy's life. If you could only imagine, if you and I have ever watched any type of an execution like that, not long ago, one night on television, I don't recall if it was on National Geographic or if it was on one of the history channels, but they showed one of the executioners that had beheaded some 3,000 people. And they showed the executioner's block. They showed how the executions were done. And no doubt as Paul would be nearing the moments of his life, he's thinking about that in verse 6. He looks in retrospect to his life, to his ministry, to his work, to all that he had done. He would say in some places, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." And he says to Timothy in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering." You will remember that one of the offerings that was offered to the Lord was a drink offering. We don't hear too awfully much about that. But what it was, they would take wine and they'd pour it on the sacrifice on the altar. And as that wine would burn up and the steam would rise, it would be a sacrifice, a sweet sacrifice, ascending to the presence of God. Paul uses that. He also used it when he was speaking to the Philippians about that he was being poured out as a drink offering. Paul realized that the moments were ticking away. Time was fleeting. The moments were passing. Paul knew that the time was coming when he would have to walk out and that he would have to lay his head there on the executioner's block, as the executioner would make one fell swoop and Paul's head would fall into a basket and his body would roll to one side. No doubt there in that prison, no doubt there in his isolationism, no doubt there in moments of loneliness when others had departed him, no wonder he would say to Timothy, "Be ready to endure affliction." Paul was getting ready for that. Paul said, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering." And he said, "The time of my departure is at hand." The time of my departure, it's like a ship that is anchored and then is let loose from that anchor to drift to the harbor or out of the harbor to another shore. Paul said, "And the time of my departure is at hand." And then he says, he retrospectively looks and he says, as a good soldier of the cross, notice what he says, "I have fought the good fight." What is the good fight? The good fight is the good fight of faith. It's to live for Jesus, to point others to Jesus, to share Jesus in the world. Paul had been like a brave soldier in battle. He said, "I fought the good fight." And then he said, "I have finished the race." Notice he's looking at it as if it is already over. And it basically was for him. For he, this would be the last that he would write before he would be executed. And then he said, "I've kept the faith." What is faith? Faith is the substance of things for the evidence of things not seen. We might say faith is trust. Faith is putting your confidence and spiritual faith is putting your faith and trust and confidence in Jesus Christ. All of us use faith every day of our lives. We get out, we drive down the road. We never know if we're going to get back or not. There's all kinds of things that we reach out by faith. We take medicine by faith. hoping that the doctor knew what he was doing, that the pharmacist knew in filling the prescription. There's all kinds of things that deal with physical faith, but spiritual faith is to put our faith and our confidence in Jesus Christ. And Paul had kept the faith. Paul's faith was intact, even though through the hardships, through the persecutions that he had experienced, through all of the things that had happened to him for the sake of Christ, he said, I've kept the faith. He realized there were people that certainly would not keep the faith. And then in verse 8, he looks prospectively. He looks prospectively to the future. He said, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Let me tell you, that's a crown of faithfulness. Being faithfully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Notice which the Lord, the righteous judge. Let me tell you, one of these days, God is going to judge this world. Let me tell you, one of these days when he raptures the church out of this world, you and I are going to stand up there before the Lord to give an account of our faithfulness to him. The way we lived our lives, the way we used our gifts, the way we used our talents, the way we used our times, the way we used our tithes and offerings to give to him. Let me tell you, the Apostle Paul, he longed for, he looked forward to the day that he would get to heaven and receive the crown of righteousness. He said, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And then he says, and not to me only. Paul realized there would be a lot of people that will receive the crown of righteousness one of these days. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. When I read this tonight and look at the explanation and the instruction of it, what is the practical, personal application for you and me this evening? I think, number one, to be the best committed child of God we can be. I think the application is for us is to bloom where we are planted. I think it's the application for us is to share our faith with every person that we have opportunity to share Christ with. I think it's to continue to run the race like an athlete would in a marathon, to run for the Stephanos or the laurel wreath of the flowers that was the crown that the athlete would receive. I think that the application here is to keep our faith intact, even through the trying times of life, even through the times of life you feel persecuted, through the times of life you feel forsaken and forgotten, that to keep our faith intact and to keep on pressing onward, to keep pressing upward, as the song says, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I think that is one of the personal applications for you and me tonight from what Paul was saying to Timothy. Keep the faith. Keep on preaching. Fulfill your ministry. Continue to be an evangelist. Live for Jesus and be all that you can be for the sake of Christ. So when it comes your time to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you can stand there and receive the crown of righteousness for your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Thank you for tuning in on this Wednesday evening. And Sunday morning, we'll be back with a message to mothers on Mother's Day. God bless you. Would you bow with me as we pray tonight? And as you're bowing your heads, if there's someone out there listening tonight that's never received Christ, first of all, admit that you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Believe in your heart that Jesus died, shed his blood to cover your sin, and rose from the dead. believe in your heart and reach out by faith and confess your sins. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And you came to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me and live in me and use me that I might be a witness for you. If you pray that prayer, would you please let us know that? Find a church home. Follow Jesus in believer's baptism and get involved and be a good soldier of the cross. Father God, we thank you tonight for the privilege that we have to come. As we look at Paul's ending of his life, passing on the baton to his young friend in the faith, Timothy, and to encourage him and to challenge him to never give up, but to pursue and fulfill his life's purpose. And God, I pray that you would help each one of us tonight, that we would apply this to our daily lives. And God, that we would live for you in such a way, oh God, that when we close our eyes each evening and go to sleep, that we, without any reservation, if we met you in the middle of the night, we could say, I've fought the good fight, I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Because of that, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all those who love his appearing. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for Timothy. Thank you that Paul saw fit to be a mentor and to pass on so that Timothy would continue in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. Father God, bless our church. Bless our church family. Touch our world tonight. God, I pray in the name of Jesus for the healing of this pandemic that has stricken this world. And God, when we see it, we realize it's all because when sin fell upon the earth, diseases and sicknesses and death and diseases and plagues and pestilences are all a part of this walk of life. God, help us to be faithful. Help us to be true. Let others see Jesus in each of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.